Reality. I'm your host, Tara, and today we are ending back to school month on a high note with 2009 Sorority Row. We have another custom cover designed by ImagineDrawing19 on Instagram, just like our normal podcast cover. Thank you, Emma, for your fantastic artwork, like always. Like all of my movie reviews, we are going into full spoiler territory, so if you haven't seen Sorority Row, check it out and come back to me. Begins with a drop in on a sorority house. We hear some glass breaking and a scream, but it turns out it's just a huge party. There is this big PJ party with pillow fights, alcohol, and pledges having their plastic surgery needs drawn directly on their bodies. And because this is a 2000s movie, there's also a choreographed dance number. Plus, our lead girl Cassidy was also the lead in Step Up 2. We travel through the party and meet another one of our girls, Chugs, who throws a beer in a guy's face. In the kitchen, Mrs. Crenshaw, the house mother, is played by the late, great Carrie Fisher. We meet Ellie, who's a little more on the geeky side. We follow her upstairs, and Cassidy is making her way upstairs as well to find her boyfriend, Andy. Jessica grabs her and says they're doing a theta toast. Claire gets the shots ready and they toast to the beginning of their senior year. They all take turns toasting each other, and we can see just how bitchy these girls are to each other. They realize Megan isn't there, and Jessica says they are planning a YouTube classic where she is recording Megan and Chuck's brother Garrett making out. Cassie says that she thought Megan dumped him after he cheated on her, but she has apparently taken him back. The girls watch the stream and realize that Megan's not moving. Apparently, the girls gave Garrett something to put in her drink to get her in the mood. Chug says that roofie sex isn't bad because you get laid and get a good night's sleep. These aren't the greatest people. She then says that it's the best prank ever when Megan starts puking and foaming at the mouth. Garrett runs into the hallway and ends up meeting the girls who are also running to find out what's going on. He says he gave her the pills and they tell him he was only supposed to give her one. They run in to help and Jessica starts giving mouth to mouth. Chugs gives Garrett the keys to get the car ready and they close the door behind him. While Jessica's giving mouth to mouth, Chugs comments on how hot it is and Megan wraps her hand around the back of Jessica's head. Michelle's fine and we find out they're pranking Garrett because even though Megan cheated first, if you cheat on one theta, you cheat on every theta. Cassidy says that this is Chug's brother, and she says, yeah, but it's her brother that gave her Theta's sister what he thought were roofies, and Rush Tri-Pie, whose motto is, we will try any pie. The roofies are actually B12, which Ellie comments will help anemia, but of course Jessica says it's too bad it doesn't help bulimia, which is what Megan actually needs help for. Just to give you a little bit of a taste of how terrible these girls are. So they head out in the car, Garrett's freaking out. Claire says that she thinks she's taken a wrong turn. Garrett hits the window while freaking out, and Claire ends up almost swerving off the road. Jessica says that she thinks Megan's really dead. Garrett asks to call his mom. He asks where they're going, and Jessica tells him they're going to take care of it. Garrett wants to call the police and keeps saying it was all him. Chugs tells him that Jessica gave him the roofies, and she died in their sorority house, so they'll close down their chapter. And this is just one of many scenes where they hilariously are so focused on their sorority, even though eventually, like, people start dying. He goes to call the police. Of course, there's no signal. Jessica says that she knows a place and they can make this all go away. So they drive up to the lake near a mining area and Garrett pukes everywhere. Jessica asks if her implants will float and tells everyone to start looking for sharp rocks so they can dismember the body. Cassidy asks how long they're going to keep this going on, and Jessica says that it's funny, and that's why they're doing it. Suddenly, Garrett takes a tire iron and stabs Jessica in the chest, saying there's no air in her lungs now. They all freak out, and Garrett realizes she wasn't actually dead. Ellie keeps screaming, which she will do constantly in this movie, and Garrett ends up shoving her to shut her up. Cassidy has Ellie help stop the bleeding, and they use her coat to try and help. No one called 911 because there's no service. So Megan dies, and Jessica says they need to be prepared for what comes if they take her back. She said they should call their parents and get lawyers. Cassidy asks if they just want to leave Megan out here, and Jessica says that nothing has changed from before. No one knows they're out there. She says that Megan was their sister, and they loved her, and she loved Theta Pi. Jessica says they have to think about what this will do and how it will ruin the lives of everyone they've ever loved. She asks Claire about her father's heart attack, and Claire says this will kill him. Cassidy tells Claire that Jessica doesn't care about her father, she only cares about herself. If this gets out, her boyfriend Kyle will leave her because his dad won't want to kill her in the family when he's running for Senate. Jessica asks if Andy will stay with Cassidy if he finds out. Chuck says they should just vote on it. Cassidy asks about the tenets of sisterhood, trust, honor, and respect. Jessica tells her that she forgot to. Secrecy and solidarity. Cassidy keeps trying to get them to change their minds, and Jessica says she's trying to figure out how they're going to live with it. She says if she was Megan, she wouldn't want everyone to throw away their lives for something that can't be changed. Cassidy says that she and Ellie know the truth. We cut to Ellie, who is just bawling. Ellie says everything she said was right. They are all stronger than her, and they aren't on scholarships like she is. They don't see a way out of it, and Cassidy says she's going to make it very easy on everyone, and grabs a phone and walks off for signal. Jessica tells the girls they saw her at the party, and she disappeared. Claire says if they all have the same story, it'll be okay. Cassidy says they can say whatever they want. Garrett gets in her face, saying that she'll say whatever they want her to say. She asks if he's going to kill her too, and walks away. They drag Megan's body to a mine shaft, and Ellie asks if they crossed a line. Claire says the hole in her chest was the line. Cassidy comes back saying she can't get a signal and asks where Megan is. Jessica says they wrapped her body in her bloody jacket first, and they've dropped her down the mine shaft. She says they've agreed not to tell anyone what she did by killing Megan with a tire iron. The girls all agree. Jessica throws the tire iron down the shaft, and they all agree to go wash off in the lake so they can get back to the party. 8 months later, it's graduation. Andy is the valedictorian and gives a speech about the company you keep and your reputation. The girls minus Cassidy all cheer and pop a bottle of champagne after the ceremony. We cut to Cassidy and Andy talking about the Theta luncheon. She doesn't want to go, but has to because her mom's a legacy. And speaking of families, Andy is taking her to his parents' beach house after, but Cassidy doesn't want to sleep in separate beds. To change the subject, he asks why she's not close with her Theta sisters anymore, and she just wants to change the subject. They end up fooling around a little bit before the luncheon. At the luncheon, Cassidy and Andy and her parents all run into Jessica. She references Andy taking away their girl Jessica, and he says that she's a big girl who can make her own choices. Jessica tells him that Earth and Fire can't break the bonds of Theta Pi. We cut to Jugs making out with a freshman. He tells her that she tastes like vomit, and she tells him that she threw up earlier, but she had a mint, so it'll be okay. She tries to get him to keep going, but he tells her that she's just too gross. Jessica gives a speech for the luncheon, and while giving the speech, she mentions that Megan is still missing. We see a girl in a white dress coming forward. Ellie screams and faints, thinking that it's Megan, but it's only her little sister Maggie. Jessica gives her crap, and Maggie comes in to apologize to everyone. Maggie says she's coming next year and plans to rush Theta Pi for her sister. Ellie says that she's going to be sick and runs off. Maggie notices the party supplies and asks about it. They tell her she could come, but then they say it violates rushing rules. They get her out of the bathroom in time for Kyle and Mickey, who are Jessica and Claire's boyfriends, to arrive. Chuck says she has to leave to get oxy from her therapist, and Kyle tells her to get enough for all of them. As they are leaving, their phones go off, and it's a picture of a tire iron. Chuck says that she's going to kill Garrett, blaming him. She says that he's lost his way, but she knows him. He's just developed a weird sense of humor since everything happened. Jessica asks Ellie to get the freshman to help clean up, and she asks Cassidy to help her. Cassidy hesitates, and Jessica asks how it's going to look if she doesn't show up to the party. Cassidy tells her she doesn't care about any of this, including getting caught. She just doesn't want to share a cell with her. Jessica tells her if she really wanted to go to the cops, she would have done it already. Jessica has this app that's going to show up a few times in the movie called Friend Pin. She checks it and sees that Andy is a mile and a half away. She calls him, and he tells her that he wants to take her to Europe over the summer. Cassidy asks him to go to the party for a bit, and then they can leave. She says she'll explain all of her issues on the way to his parents. We cut to Miss Crenshaw giving a speech. Tradition is that the girls get to stay in the house alone for their last night. She gives them all a bracelet with 22 links, one for each Theta Pi senior. Jessica says she'll never wear it and throws it on the podium after she leaves. Claire and Chugs do the same while Cassidy and Ellie put theirs on. Claire wants Mickey to fool around with her in the hot tub while everyone around them is getting ready. She adds a bubble bath and takes her top off, leading for him to climb in. Chugs goes to her therapist's office and grabs a bottle of alcohol. She finds him handcuffed to the bed, and he tells her that they can finish off what his last session started. She doesn't want to, but he mentions all of his free samples, so she goes to the bathroom to freshen up. While in the bathroom, her therapist hears someone else in the office. They turn off the music and he sees them walk past. He reaches for the keys, and when he finally unlocks it, the killer throws a makeshift tire iron and catches him in the head with it. Chugs has been on the phone with Jessica, telling her that she really has to work for the pills this time and will be late. When she gets out there, the therapist is gone, and she misses the pool of blood from under the bed. She sits on the couch and lays back while taking a drink. The killer comes up and slams the bottle down her throat, and then shoves it further down, breaking it, causing it to break in her throat. It is a wicked, memorable death scene, because you just see the liquid going further and further down, and then when he breaks the bottle, you see blood coming up the bottle. It's just gruesome. Jessica's having lunch with Kyle and his father. Kyle's running late, so his father takes the time to chat and sort out a few things. He tells her that she's a spirited girl, and he might get a vice president nod. He tells her there's two kind of girls, the one you spend your life with and the one you burn hard with, but he doesn't know which girl she is. He said he doesn't like surprises, and if she doesn't fall in line, it'll all go away, meaning everything that she's dreamed of with Kyle. Mickey and Claire come inside, and he is literally checking out all the girls with Claire right there, even going as far as to, like, look up one's skirt. So, like, he's trash. Cassidy asks Ellie if she's okay. She says yes and heads to the basement. Cassidy asks Jessica if she thinks that she'll be okay, and Jessica says she doesn't care because she doesn't need her to write her term papers anymore. Cassidy tells her they have different definitions of the word sister. Jessica goes to take a shower, and we get our gratuitous nudity scene. Claire's already in the shower, and Riley opens her curtain and gives her crap for her pubic hair. Jessica tells her that this is a senior bathroom and asks if she needs to check stalls. We see another girl is hiding in the shower, hoping not to get caught. Jessica tells her to get out, but to drop her towel first. Claire says that she can't stop thinking about the text. Jessica says that Garrett's a little bitch who will say that they made him kill Megan. She tells Claire to grow a pair. The girl hiding hears every bit of this, and Claire says that she's always had Jessica's back, but Jessica says she's never had a backbone. Claire and Jessica leave the bathroom, and the showers all start turning on. The girl hiding comes out of the stall and starts heading out, but when she turns around, the killer grabs her and stabs the tire iron through the bottom of her mouth. Ellie is downstairs in the basement trying to find more vodka when her flashlight goes out. She finally gets a light turned on and sees half of Cassidy's coat that was used to wrap up Megan's body. Kyle comes up behind her, scaring her. Cassidy had sent Kyle down there to help Ellie, and Ellie just kind of walks off awkwardly. We cut to her crying upstairs, saying that they killed Megan and dumped her body down a mine shaft. Jessica says there are 30 girls outside that door that probably shouldn't hear that they murdered their sister. Cassidy asks where the rest of the jacket is, and Claire says that this is just a prank. Ellie thinks that Megan has come back from the dead to kill them all. Cassidy said they got a text earlier, and they think that it was Garrett playing a sick joke. They call Jugs to find out where Garrett is. Ellie is freaking out, saying they're all gonna die. Jessica says no one is dead. Well, except for Megan. And Garrett's harmless, he just went psycho. She says that if he blabs, it's orange jumpsuits for all of them, and they just need to stick together. So the party is now in full swing. We see that there are bubbles everywhere from the hot tub, and a lot of people are wearing hooded robes like the killer. Cassidy friend pins Andy and sees that he's less than 50 feet away. She tells him they'll leave soon because he comes up and like kisses her. Claire's dancing and Mickey is all over her. She is in a completely different mood than she was before. She keeps trying to get him to get off of her, and he tells her that she didn't mind in the hot tub. She says that she wishes he could read the situation. He tells her it's their last night of college and he could be with any of those girls. She throws his ring at him and tells him just to go do that then. He goes outside and slaps a girl's ass, causing her to call him a dick and walk away. Ellie is by herself, and Mickey goes to hit on her and keeps touching her. Ellie tells him that if he touches her again, that she'll kill him. He sees girls trying to sneak into the party and offers them these special wristbands if they show some skin. They agree to it, but before they actually end up doing it, they hear a bunch of creepy noises. Mickey goes to see what's going on and sees the killer and starts yelling at them, thinking that it's just some random person at the party. The girls come out and say that he's creepy and not hot, so they pass. Ellie's watching from the window and he says they were just messing around and it's nothing to tell Claire about. Claire and Cassidy are getting ready and Claire tells her how proud she is of her because she's a much better person, mentioning her charity work and getting away from Theta Pi. She says they made a mistake not going to the cops. Cassidy says they made a bunch of mistakes and they just need to get through the night. Mickey goes upstairs trying to find Ellie. He goes into an area that's getting renovated and there's sheets covering the furniture. He tells Ellie that if she comes out, they can kiss and make up. He pulls a sheet off and the killer is now hiding underneath and hits him in the leg with a 2x4, causing his leg to break and the bone to stick out. We see a brief clip of the weapon and we see that it has blades on it and is just super over the top and really, really cool. It's one of my favorite weapons that came out of this era. Mickey crawls over to the window yelling for help, but he can't get it open. He grabs a chair and breaks it, screaming for help, but the people down below think that he's drunk and they can't make out what he's saying. Mickey decides to crawl in the dumbwaiter head first, and the killer throws the weapon, which has this like little spike thing on it that lodges in right below Mickey, making him stop. The killer then just calmly walks over and tilts the weapon through the wall, and instead of Mickey like trying to kick at him because he knows he's right there, he just stands there as the killer tilts the weapon through the wall and sticks it into Mickey's throat. And then he just leaves him there, with his legs sticking up through the top of a dumbwaiter. It is as ridiculous as it sounds. Ellie screams and runs downstairs. Kyle and Jessica hear her, and Jessica says she's gonna go handle it. Kyle tells her that she better have it all under control in this, like, kind of, like, shitty way. In the kitchen, Ellie can't even explain what's happened, so Jessica says if she can't tell them, she's gonna show them. They drag her upstairs, and Jessica and Cassidy look around. They see Mickey, who Jessica recognizes by, and I quote, his ugly-ass shoes. Cassidy asks if he's dead, and Jessica says, well, he has a tire iron through his head. The weapon is still on the wall, and they discuss how it looks different from the other one. They get a text, and it's the video shot from Megan's phone of Garrett killing Megan, saying to meet at the lake. They get another text saying that they'll go to the police in 20 minutes. Jessica says they can't let Ellie see the text, and then suddenly we hear Ellie scream, and Jessica immediately goes, shit, too late, and I absolutely lost it. I thought it was hilarious. Jessica gets the car, because they're all going to head out to the lake, so Cassidy runs and grabs Andy, tells him that she has to take care of something and he needs to leave now. She'll meet him at his parents' tomorrow. The girls all end up in the car and they start heading out. Cassidy asks if anyone has any weapons, like mace or anything like that, and Jessica says, oh yeah, there's a chainsaw in the glove box. Jessica ends up having to slam on the brakes to avoid hitting someone in the street, and it's Maggie. Jessica says she told her not to come to the party, and Maggie says she wasn't going to listen to a lying bitch like her. She knows it's not against Greek rules to be there, and she tells her that Megan hated them. Jessica says that she'll deal with her later, and Maggie tells her to deal with her hair because it looks like shit. Back in the car, Ellie says that Maggie would have made a great Theta. This movie is so damn funny. They arrive at the lake and get out a flare gun. They turn on the headlights and see Garrett there. He has the other half of the jacket and has blood on his wrists. He goes to walk towards them with glass in his hand, and Jessica runs him over, backing up, and then running over him again. Cassidy says that he's not moving, and Jessica says that he won't be able to send videos now, and that he was coming after her with a knife. She asks if she should have waited until he had stabbed her, and then tells them they should all be thanking her. This is when they notice that his wrists are bleeding. They grab his arm, and he jumps, and then lays back down. Jessica says that he must have sent the other half of the jacket, killed Mickey, and then slit his wrists out of guilt. Cassidy sees that he was getting the same messages that they were. She decides to go down into the mineshaft to see if it's really Megan, doing all of this. The chains they are using snaps and Cassidy falls to the bottom. She looks around and sees Theta Pi must die written in blood on the wall. Somehow, they get Cassidy out. We don't see that, but she's out and fine. And they all head back to the party. Everyone's gone to an after party at another sorority. Claire says Megan won't kill them because they're sisters. Jessica says that should trump dumping her down a mineshaft. She says she's gonna go find Kyle and make sure he's okay, and that she's getting her stuff and never coming back. Claire decides to turn off the hot tub that's overheating and has to go in through the bubbles that are almost as tall as she is. She can't get it to shut off and has to unplug it. She hears a creepy noise, and as she's headed to the plug, the noise from the hot tub stops. Cassidy, Jessica, and Ellie are all inside. Jessica stops the music while Cassidy checks friend pin to see that Andy is 83 miles away. They get a text from Chuck saying that she's going to miss the party because she's dead. They notice that Claire isn't included in the text message, and suddenly Claire is banging on the door screaming. They can't get the door unlocked and open to help her because a keg is blocking the other door and they can't get through to her. The cord around the hot tub is around Claire's ankle when the killer drags her into the bubbles. They finally get the door open, and Cassidy grabs a cane and runs into the bubbles. The flare gun goes off when Cassidy gets to Claire. We see that the flare was actually shot inside of her mouth, killing her. Cassidy runs back into the house, and Ellie says Megan is going to kill them all. Jessica runs to look for Kyle and finds Maggie in her bed. Turns out she was fooling around with Kyle. Jessica grabs her by the hair to pull her out of bed, and they start fighting and make it into the hallway. Cassidy comes in telling them she's in the house. Jessica grabs an axe from the firebox and heads to the stairs. Jessica swings the axe when Miss Crenshaw hits Jessica with the butt of her gun. Crenshaw tells her that she's had that coming for 4 years as she saw what she's done. Jessica tells her they didn't mean to kill Megan. Maggie is shocked, and Crenshaw was actually talking about them trashing the house. Maggie goes to attack Jessica when Crenshaw shoots in the air to separate them. Cassidy tells her that it was an accident, they'll all explain it later, but Claire, Mickey, and Chugs are dead, and they don't know if Megan is dead. Crenshaw asks who else is here, and Jessica tells her that Kyle's here, and she asks if he's in on it. Jessica says no, and Crenshaw cocks the gun and tells her to lie again. Jessica then admits to telling Kyle, and Cassidy asks if she's the only person that didn't tell anyone. Crenshaw says to go to Jessica's room and to call the police. We hear the gun going off, and Jessica says maybe they got her. Maggie takes off running, and Jessica goes, "Oh no, don't go out there." And then says that she tried to warn her. Crenshaw goes in the kitchen and sees the killer. She shoots a few times, but ends up missing. She tells the killer that she's not afraid of him because she shares a house with 50 crazy bitches. Jessica says the shots are coming from the back of the house so they can leave and get away. Ellie says that she's staying here, and Cassidy wants to get Mickey's phone and call the police, so Jessica goes with her. Crenshaw comes around the corner, and the killer throws the tire iron into the fridge. Her gun jams, and she can't shoot him. She moves to get away, and he slides a table against her, causing her to impale herself on the tire iron. She tries to shoot him and misses. The killer goes into another room and sees Maggie. She asks if it's Megan, and he throws a Molotov cocktail at her, setting the house on fire. Ellie says she has to do something and turns off all the lights and hides in Jessica's closet, but we can still see her legs. Like, it is literally her hiding behind shirts, and her entire bottom half is completely exposed. They go to Mickey's body and see Kyle in the hallway. He says that he heard gunshots and took off. They notice he's wearing a robe, and he said he had to throw something on. Jessica yells at him for sleeping with Megan, and he knocks her to the ground. He tells her to put the axe down because he doesn't want to hurt her. Cassidy grabs Mickey's phone, and his body falls down in the chute, and no one reacts, except for me, because I'm cracking up, because literally they take his phone, and it's like the only thing that was holding him upright, and then he just bloop, and falls down. Kyle asks Cassidy where she's going, and holds her down taking the phone. Kyle tells Jessica that this can't get out, and Cassidy says she can't breathe. She asks Jessica for help, and Kyle calls her a power whore, who will only help, but he's cut off by Jessica hitting him in the face with the bottom of the axe. She tells him as long as he keeps his dick in his pants, finishing his sentence. He asks her if she's crazy and if she knows what his father's capable of. She tells him that she must be fucking the wrong guy then. Cassidy takes off to grab the fire extinguisher and shoots it in Kyle's face. They can't get out of the window, so they go into a different room. Jessica sees the fire and goes, "Who lit the house on fire? Shit!" She has the best lines in this movie. It's great. Kyle keeps coming for them. We hear a phone ring. Kyle heads towards the ringing, and they hide in the bathroom. They open the shower curtain and see Megan's dead body all decomposed. Jessica says she looks terrible, and I could not help but laugh. Kyle follows them and shoves the axe in the door, hitting Jessica and slamming her into a pole. He breaks the door down and grabs Cassidy, saying he can't let his father hang out to dry over this, and they aren't leaving until they come up with a story. He says that her boyfriend isn't here to protect her, and an axe goes through the back of his head. Andy's there. He tells her that he knew she was in trouble and he won't let anything happen to her. Cassidy looks over at Jessica and sees her looking down at something completely terrified. She looks down and sees the tire iron. Jessica says, "It's okay, this is fixable." He then shoves the tire iron in Jessica's mouth, killing her. He says that Ellie told him everything. He says that they are horrible people and that she's tried to get away from them for the past year. He killed everyone that knew. He says that she's been attached to this forever. If one of them gets drunk or is overheard in the bathroom or blabs to a therapist, does she want to be attached to it forever? He says his valedictorian speech was about the company you keep, and he says that her company are bitches. He asks if she's with him, and she says yes. He grabs the weapon out of Jessica's mouth, and he says they'll kill Ellie and then head out to his parents for some R&R. He asks why Ellie, and he says they can do it together because she says they don't do enough stuff together. Cassidy tries to get him to not kill her, but he says she's the weakest. Cassidy keeps trying to get him to leave, but he won't. He tells her to wait outside and kisses her. At first, she doesn't react, but then she kisses him and tells him to get Ellie to meet her in the basement. He leaves and Cassidy goes to Jessica's room to get Ellie. She tells him that it's not safe, and when they go to leave, Andy pops out asking why she lied when he's worked so hard to give her her life back. He goes to stab her and she hits him with a lamp. She says she pinned him and he left, and he says his phone took a short ride on a Greyhound. She hits him again and goes to leave when she hears Maggie screaming. She's trapped in the room with all the fire. Cassidy says she left her sister behind, so she won't leave her. Andy shows up and ties a rope around the tire iron and keeps throwing it at Megan, trying to kill her. The tire iron falls in a hole, and Cassidy throws a chair at Andy. She comes around and hits him with some statue, and he falls down. She tries to get Maggie, and Andy comes up from behind her, knocking them to the ground. He goes to hit her, and Cassidy starts to fall through the floor. Her bracelet catches her and stops her from falling through. Andy says that he tried to get her to tell him, but she protected her sisters. Ellie comes up and shoots him as he's doing his villain monologue. He then falls through the floor and into the fire. Ellie tells Maggie to wrap herself in the curtain and run through. They pull Cassidy up, and the three of them walk out of the house as fire trucks pull up to put the fire out. Did you guys catch that the girls that kept and wore their gifts from Crenshaw were the only ones that actually survived? 15 months later, during Rush Week, we see various members of Greek life. We see Theta Pi chanting Theta Pi Says Goodbye over and over again as pledges leave. Maggie is already in the sorority. We see landscapers working on the grounds, and one of them has a small shovel in his hand with a scar on his wrist. We cut to black, and that's the movie. This movie is so much fun. Like I said in our remakes episode, this is a remake of 1983's House on Sorority Row. I still have not seen the original, but I do love this movie so much. Originally, this movie was rated R, and after Prom Night's success, they wanted to trim it to PG-13. Thankfully, the studio changed its mind, and we got the R rating. Honestly, all they would have had to do, though, is trim down some of the gore and take out all the boobs. The director, Stuart Hendler, said that he knew that nudity was a staple for the slasher subgenre, and he wanted to pay homage to that. His only issue was that none of the leads wanted to do nudity, so a ton of extras had to do it instead. And this cast was made up of a big list of up-and-coming stars. Megan is played by Audrina Patridge from The Hills. Chugs is played by Margot Harshman from Even Stevens. Claire is played by Jamie Chung from Real World San Diego in The Challenge. Jessica is played by Leah Pipes from the original Disney Channel movie Pixel Perfect. Ellie is played by Rumor Willis, who is the daughter of Bruce Willis and Demi Moore. She's also in The House Bunny. Cassidy is played by Brianna Evagon from Step Up 2. Even our supporting players are known. Andy is Julian Morris from Cry Wolf, which was originally planned for Back to School Week. We might see it later on down the road. And Kyle is played by Matt Lanter, who would blow up the same year in the 90210 remake. And of course, Mrs. Crenshaw is played by Carrie Fisher. See what I mean? Great cast. This movie is also an absolute time capsule with the fashion, just like Prom Night was. And now for our closing segment in Terror Tea, the high tea and the low tea. In Terror Tea, the high tea moment is the part of the film that's action-packed, adds a little bit of scare to the movie, where the low tea is the lesser part of the film, or even my least favorite part. For Sorority Row, my low tea moment has to be the killer reveal. I didn't enjoy it was the boyfriend, and I didn't like the actor's portrayal, which is wild for me because I enjoyed his performance in Cry Wolf, where he was the lead. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I completely forgot that he was the killer. Like, I rewatched this and was telling Emma that I could not remember who the killer was. And I thought the killer in this movie is awesome. His outfit makes sense. His weapon is super cool. I did find it odd that he just kept leaving it all over the place. I just didn't like the reveal. Also, he is trying to have an American accent in this movie and fails miserably, especially at the end. Like, basically when he has heavy dialogue, like, his dialect coach did not help him at all. My high tea moment has to be Jessica. She is such an incredible bitch with the absolute best dialogue. I love her. And honestly, even though they're all pretty unlikable, I still enjoyed their banter and interactions. I thought that was a nice touch. I loved all the super serious, like, sisterhood lines, and honestly laughed throughout the entire movie. I don't know if that was the intent, but it truly made me enjoy it so much more. So what do you think? Do you love Sorority Row? Hate it? Let me know all of your thoughts. You can find me all over social media. I'm on Twitter at @terror_t, over on Instagram at @terror.t. We're also on Facebook in the Terror T group. You'll catch horror news, among other things, with polls, questions, upcoming episode info. Come join us. If you dig what you're hearing, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you really like it, leave me a 5-star review. Again, I'm your host, Tara, and this has been Terror T. Thank you.